Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
A little old school. Kicked it old school with the old intro. I haven't done that one in a long time.
Been a while.
Yeah. Thought we'd dust it off. Yeah. But we're back, and we're doing a two-round Dynasty Superflex rookie mock tonight. So
yeah,
I figured it was time to get that underway. We got free agency pretty for the most part wrapped up. There's still some loose ends out there for the most part. All the big names have signed, and all those things have happened. So there's I figured better time than now. With Pro Days going on and March Madness going on, to just knock out a little rookie mock here tonight. So that's what we're going to do for the people. Everyone loves a good rookie mock. So we're going to do two rounds. This is a, like I said, super flex. So, yeah. So we didn't even decide before. I guess we should have. Cody, I think I had the one-on-one the last time we did a mock. You can have the one-on-one. I mean, it shouldn't be real hard.
It's not real hard. It's going to be Caleb Williams, the 101. I know it was the cool thing for a while to talk down on him and, you know, the fingernail painting and how much he loves football and everything else. But he's going to the Bears. The Bears have not even quietly, but the Bears have put together a really nice offseason with getting some more weapons in there. So we don't have to labor over this too long, but it's going to be Caleb Williams at the 101. Not getting spicy yet.
Yeah, have you seen the like some of the people that are like, well, maybe the Bears aren't going to take Caleb Williams, and they still trade down. I'm like, stop it.
I mean, it would be very Bears-esque to do that, but
I think there's a much better shot of like a team like maybe the Patriots are maybe possibly doing that. I still don't think they will. They don't really have anything. I think the team that makes the most sense is going to be the Cardinals to trade out of that pick. So that team that moves up to get J.J. McCarthy. It's got a lot of buzz, like the Vikings as a team that could look to do so to kind of move out of that. Because, I mean, the Cardinals have multiple needs. It would make sense for them to pick there and just go ahead and take Marvin Harrison Jr. But, you know, I don't think that's going to happen. So the 102. Superflex, I'm going to make it easy. It's going to be Jaden Daniels. I think he makes the most sense here. I really, especially from a fantasy purpose, I think, you know, the rushing upside that he possesses is also going to be significant here with him. So I think it's pretty easy just to go Jaden Daniels here.
You know what? I can't... I don't understand. Well, first of all, with your pick, I don't understand, seeing a lot of mocks, people taking Marvin Harrison Jr. to two spot over one of these quarterbacks. I personally could not do that. Not that I have anything against Marvin Harrison Jr. by any means, but in a super flex like this, I think, you know, especially if you are shooting for upside, there's a different wide receiver that I would debate on taking. But... that's not another point in this exercise, just something that I wanted to throw in there as I was looking at some different ADP across some different sites. But at the three, I am going to take what I feel is the safest prospect for rookie drafts. And I am going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. here at the three spot, you know, assuming he ends up, I know you're Kevin, you're just talking about Arizona potentially trading down from that four spot. But assuming that that doesn't happen and he lands with Kyler Murray, he's going to be the unquestioned one in that offense. So give me Marv. Maserati Marv.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of debate, you know, or some debate going on right now between Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers. I think there's some reports this week that some teams may have Malik Nabers higher than Marvin Harrison Jr. on their board. I've said it for a while now that I feel like those two prospects are pretty close in terms of just, you know, so I didn't really bother me if a team values Malik Nabers over Marvin Harrison Jr. I do think Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably a little bit more of the safer option just in terms of, you know, the guy who's just produced at a high level at for a very long time. But that being said, I mean, I can't blame you for taking Marvin Harrison Jr. there. So I'm just going to follow it up, and I'm going to go with the other guy. I'm going to go with Malik Nabers at the 104.
All right, I'll keep it rolling here, and then I will go. I'm going to go ahead and take Drake May at what is this the 105. Superflex again. There's obviously like you said, the buzz coming with JJ McCarthy, but I feel much safer taking a guy that we've seen put up what a 5,000 yard season as a sophomore compared to JJ McCarthy, who seems like everyone is just hanging their hats on what he potentially could be versus what we've actually seen him do and, you know, production wise at Michigan. So Superflex, again, not going to, you know, no need to dive in this too far. It seems like Drake May is almost kind of like the Justin Herbert of this class. Like the dude who's just been really good in college, you know, every opportunity that he's gotten, but for some reason kind of seems like there's other people, you know, kind of pushing him down to potentially even QB4 at this point. And I think he's just a really solid prospect, still only 21 years old as well. So Drake May is the easy pick for me here at the 5.
And to be honest, I don't really understand that, honestly, because, like, I mean, JJ, it's not like JJ McCarthy isn't without his, you know, red flags or issues, right? But he seems to be the kind of flavor of the week guy that we tend to get in every single draft where a player tends to really skyrocket up after the combine and stuff like that. He seems to be that guy at the quarterback position this year where people are just hyping him up too much. And I think putting him back past Drake May, I think, is a mistake. I mean, for the longest time, really, it's been Caleb Williams and Drake May through this. And, you know, Jaden Daniels entered himself this year with his performance at LSU. And then now it seems to be JJ McCarthy is now pushing him out. And I don't know. If a team actually took JJ McCarthy ahead of Drake May, I think that would be a big mistake, but we'll find out. But anyways, So next up here at the 106, I'm going to go with the logical choice and go with the third wide receiver that should come off the board. And that is Rome Odunze. And he too was in conversation, you know, not that long ago that he should be ahead of Malik Nabers. And I know people had him ranked ahead of Malik Nabers. I can't do that. I think it's still him, but I don't think that Rome Odunze is all that far away from that tier anyways. I think it's very close. Those three are the clear top three wide receivers in this class.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see where Nabers and Odunze land, and I feel like that could potentially, assuming that Nabers doesn't go ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr., kind of stays chalk in the way that a lot of the mocks and, you know, talking heads have had it for the past, you know, basically what feels like the past couple of months. But assuming Marvin goes first, it's going to be really interesting to see where Nabers and Odunze end up on teams, because I feel like that could end up kind of potentially pushing Odunze ahead of Nabers, depending on where some of these landing spots, because there are some gross landing spots where some of these receivers could end up if it kind of stays the way that it's being talked about. But, you know, still still pretty chalky here. I will say I'm not going to do anything crazy just yet. I am going to go ahead and lock down Brock Bowers here at the 7. I know the optics did not look great when he was standing beside Gronk, but I simply can't look away from what this dude has done in the SEC from the time that he stepped on the field of Georgia as a true freshman. Is he going to be, you know, the greatest inline blocker, like a, you know, like a George Kittle or a Gronk or something like that? No, but with the way that the NFL operates today, you're not going to ask him to do that a ton. And if you're drafting him potentially in the, you know, the top 10, top 15 picks here in the NFL draft coming up next month, you're not going to ask him to do a lot of that either. Like, you know what you're getting. He's going to be your move tight end. I think he's good enough as a blocker that he's not a complete zero in that area. So I'm going to go ahead and take Brock Bowers here and the breakout age and the production profile that comes along with him.
Well, GZD, one thing you're not going to have to worry about is Aaron Donald, because he retired. So we're not going to have to worry about him getting tackled by Aaron Donald anytime soon. But
good try, though. That was a good try.
I don't know. Like, I go back and forth on the Caleb Williams thing. Like, I think there's a, like, I don't think we, like, and I think a lot of that's cooled off a little bit. At least it's not as much as, like, it was, like, with, like, a Trevor Lawrence, where he was just, like, the unquestioned, he's generational. We're not even going to talk about any flaws that he may have, because if you did so, then it's you're trying to be hot takey. Like, that's not the case with Caleb Williams. Like, I think there's a lot to like with Caleb Williams' profile, but then there's also some serious red flags, I think, as well. And calling him, and, like, I saw something today somebody put out that, like, they were comparing him and Patrick Mahomes, and, like, only thing Patrick Mahomes won on was championships. I'm like, he beat him on everything else is what they put it out. I'm like accuracy, arm talent, all this other stuff. They added at Caleb Williams. I'm like, stop it. Like, can we just stop? Like, anyway. That's not what I was getting at, but yeah, I don't know. There's certainly a world where he fails and this doesn't work out, which would also be very Bears-esque for that to happen to them, that they take the number one guy and he fails. But so next up, let's keep it moving here. What are we at, the 108? And I think this is where things get really interesting, because like we always talked about, you have the three wide receivers, you have Brock Bowers, you have the quarterbacks. I could go JJ McCarthy here. That's probably the logical choice to go with as well, because, you know, obviously if he's going to be picked inside the top 10, he does make a lot of sense. But I'm going to go with another wide receiver here, and it comes down to, a lot of this is going to play into draft capital more than anything, and landing spot dependent on, because I think Brian Thomas, A.D. Mitchell, and probably Xavier Worthy all are likely first round picks as well, but it's going to depend on where they fall here within that. But I think the most logical, I think Brian Thomas probably comes off the board first of those three, at least some of the buzz that you're seeing with him. Xavier Worthy, A.D. Mitchell, feel like a little more back half of the first type guys. I think there's a chance that Brian Thomas could go inside the top 20. And so I'm going to go with Brian Thomas here at the 108.
Yeah, I'm so excited for the draft to see like how all this shakes out. I am going to take the guy that you just said was the logical pick. I am going to go J.J. McCarthy. When it comes to quarterbacks, I have no idea what I'm looking at. I have missed on far more quarterbacks than I have hit. You know, going back to, oh my God, why can't I, his name's completely escaped. Josh Rosen, Trey Lance, you know, guys like that, that I thought were, you know, for sure gonna hit in the NFL. But there seems to be a lot of buzz around JJ McCarthy. There are people that are way smarter than me that actually know what they're looking at with when it comes to quarterback play in college. Maybe it was as simple as he just wasn't asked to do it a ton. I don't know. But if things go the way that they are, you know, kind of progressing, and he ends up being, you know what I mean, a top, you know, a top 10 draft pick, and he goes to a decent landing spot, that's going to be too good to pass up here. So I'm going to take JJ McCarthy again in a super flex. Is it all upside? Who knows at this point, but like I said, if he can land somewhere that is half decent, like if the Vikings trade up for him, that's a slam dunk spot going there with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson. So you have to love that. So I'm going to go JJ McCarthy here at this point.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. And I do think that's probably the most likely, at least from what we're hearing right now, is the Vikings are going to move up to try to get McCarthy, which they kind of have to. I mean, I can't imagine they're going to lean on Sam Darnold at all, you know, all year as being the guy. But who knows? Crazy things have happened. But so at the 110, again, I'm going to go back to the wide receivers. This is going to be pretty common. I don't think many people are going to take a running back inside the first round unless one happens to go like in the second round and just lands in the dream spot of a perfect landing spot or something like that where they could immediately be like a workhorse back. So right now, it just doesn't make any sense to go with a running back within the first round. So I'm going to keep it going here, and I'm going to go with Xavier Worthy here. And I know it's between him and the other Texas wide receiver, A.D. Mitchell. But Xavier Worthy is a three-year producer at Texas. I mean, he broke out as a true freshman. Obviously, he ran the blazing 40, but that's really not all the stuff that goes to his game. I think, you know, he has been typecasted into that right now because of how fast he ran. But we already knew all that. Like, we knew that he was going to be fast. Like, nobody was shocked when he ran, you know, fast. Obviously, I don't think people were expecting necessarily the 4.21, but still, I think that's being overvalued some. But I still think Xavier Worthy, and I think he has a good shot of landing in one of these landing spots like the Bills here at the back half of the first round, maybe Kansas City. I mean, they are a team that's definitely still going to be looking at wide receiver. They've done a good job of plugging a lot of the holes that they may have had so they can head into the draft. Really not a lot of needs. So I could see Kansas City, maybe if San Francisco ends up trading Brandon Ayuk, there's been some rumors about that, then maybe they could be in the market for another wide receiver. So I think there's a lot of teams here that could definitely be looking at wide receiver here in the back half of the first that would really bolt one of these guys up. So I'm going to go with Xavier Worthy here.
We might as well continue the wide receiver run. Excuse me. And I'm going to go back to a guy that I was higher on at the start of this. And then, you know, A.D. Mitchell comes out, does what he does at his size at the combine. I'm going to forego that, and I'm going to go back to Troy Franklin. I mean, the things that we thought that he was good at in terms of the 40 being a burner, he showed that. I don't care about the gauntlet. I know it doesn't look great. I know it's not great to sit there and watch, you know, him weave back and forth like he's out there and has a, you know, a 0.2 BAC, just got pulled over for a Dewey. I know it doesn't look great. But I feel a little more comfortable with Troy Franklin at this point because I think that we are projecting A.D. Mitchell a little bit at this point. Now, obviously, if A.D. Mitchell hits, his ceiling is going to be higher than Troy Franklin. Troy Franklin is never going to be a one. He's not going to be an alpha for any offense. But I do think that he could potentially be going in like the back half of – or like toward the end of the first – if he lands somewhere like with Buffalo, that would be a fantastic landing spot for him. Let him do what he does. I really like the route diversity that he has shown as well, and also the fact that he lines up inside, outside, and left and right sides of the field as well, which, you know, sounds like it's like, well, yeah, well, duh, like he's going to line up on both sides. But with a lot of these college offenses, they keep it very simple. And sometimes you see it's not uncommon to see some of these prospects coming out and you look at their route charts and where they're lining up on the field. And it's, you know, 90% on one side of the field. And that's where they're running all their routes from. But Franklin has run a diverse route tree and has done it from both sides of the field. And that's something I always like to see from these guys coming out. So I'm going to go back to Troy Franklin here.
And I don't hate that at all. Like, I think his combine negatively affected him, which is always weird to me because a lot of times we talk about it before the combine. We're like, oh, you know, you shouldn't be double counting. You shouldn't be worried. You know, you shouldn't be negative, especially the 40. The 40 seems to be the one that everybody always says before, don't double count. Don't move a guy up or down so much because of the 40 time. And then they do it. And then all of a sudden it's like, yep, okay, we're out on that. You know, like, and it wasn't even that Troy Franklin ran a bad 40. Like, I think people thought he was going to run in the 4.3s. He didn't. He ran the 4.4s. Still great. Like, still nothing wrong with that whatsoever. We ended up doing this with these guys. But so I don't mind the pick at all. But you made it pretty easy for me here at the back half, the last pick. And I'm just going to go with A.D. Mitchell because I do think that teams are going to fall in love with his speed. But we've seen this before where guys that come out, they're athletic, you know, athletically speaking, they're freaks. There is some serious question marks with his production, you know, over his career, because he really only has the 1 year of production. And honestly, his best year is worse than any most year that Xavier Worthy had. But I still get it. The athleticism there, teams are going to drool over that and think that they can get the most out of A.D. Mitchell. But, I mean, he basically has the 1 year where in last year where he had 845 yards and 11 touchdowns. Analytically, not great. You know, he was 397th in yards after contact per reception. And also, he put 64th in deep yards. So that just really wasn't how he was necessarily utilized. But it is good to see, you know, in terms of what he did athletically, obviously was fantastic, especially at his size at 6'2", 205. To be able to still run a 4.34 is still pretty damn impressive. But some team is going to fall in love with him. And because of his draft capital, I do think that he is worth, you know, a first-round pick in your rookie draft.
So just for the folks that are listening to this on podcast, whenever we put it out, just want to recap the first round. Again, Superflex, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Drake May, Rome Odunze, Brock Bowers, Brian Thomas, J.J. McCarthy, Xavier Worthy, Troy Franklin, and Adonai Mitchell rounding out the first round. I'm on the clock at 201. I'm going to take someone who you know, got a lot of buzz at the Senior Bowl, getting a lot of love for his route running that obviously translates to the NFL, had a decent combine as well, and I'm going to go Ladd McConkey at the 201. I think he's safe here. Goes, you know, could be a Hunter Renfrow-esque type of player. Obviously, we just need to get him to a spot where he's going to be able to get the volume from the slot. But again, that route running, that type of the type of separation he gets, the way that he's able to work the open parts of the field, that all that stuff translates to the NFL. So I don't think he has a fantastic ceiling, again, unless he's going to get, you know, Keenan Allen type of treatment, which, you know, I don't think we should be trying to force on any prospect from the slot. But Ladd McConkey certainly has that in his, like, upper threshold if he can get to a team that's going to feed him that way. But regardless, especially in full PPR leagues, I think he's going to be someone who, you know, you can go and count on getting you, you know, 9 to 12 points week in and week out.
Yeah, I'm Hunter Renfrow. I thought you were going to go with the Cooper Kupp comp, but I mean, to be fair, he was asked who he models his game after, and he did say Cooper Kupp. So it wasn't just a lazy, he's a white guy, let's play. Let's just go ahead.
I went with the other white guy.
I know, and you went with the far inferior one, but I don't. You know, it is what it is. So I think at this point where we are, I think it's safe to probably. I think where we could get to a point where you can take a running back here, and I think that's what I'm going to do. Okay. I'm still going to go with the guy that I think has the best shot of possibly going off the board first, because to me, I think it really comes down to Trey Bitts and Jalen Wright, Marshawn Lloyd, and possibly Jonathan Brooks. But I think Jonathan Brooks could fall because of the ACL stuff, so maybe he falls a little bit more. Obviously, I have Jonathan Brooks as my 101, but because of that, I'm going to go with Marshawn Lloyd here. Profiles as somebody who could be a three-down back, really did really well in the combine. Doesn't necessarily have the greatest production, but also I would say on a per-touch basis, he did very well. Wasn't somebody that was asked to carry a massive workload or anything like that. 116 carries, 820 rush yards, and 9 touchdowns last year for USC, but he was 26th in yards after contact per attempt, 4th in missed tackles forced per attempt. So he pretty much checks every single box that you're looking for in terms of a lot of these guys. So depending on where he lands, 5'9", 220, I think he could be the possibility, the guy that goes like back half of the first, or back half of the second round, excuse me, of the NFL draft. I don't expect any running back to get super high draft capital, but there are still some teams that have that need. I know a lot of people have been trying to comp like Blake Corum to Michigan, because let's just get lazy and just every Michigan player is going to go to, you know, to go to the Chargers. But I do think Marshawn Lloyd has a shot at being the first running back off the board. So I'm going to go take a shot here at a running back in the second round.
Speaking of taking shots, I'm going to go with my first ceiling guy, potentially even a reach here, but I'm going to go Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina. You know, I know a lot of people like to do the AJ Brown comp, you know, kind of similar body types. Obviously, Leggett crushed the combine, came in a little bit shorter than what he was listed at SC, but you know, I know, you know, the fifth year production is the only thing he has to his name. Literally did nothing up until that point. But I think what a lot of people are forgetting is that this dude also played, I think he played defense, but he was definitely a quarterback in high school as well. So it's not like this dude came out recruited as a, you know, as some like 3, 4, 5 star wide receiver prospect, you know, only hit in his last year. So it's been a little bit of a different path for him to get to where he was. But if he can, you know, clean up some aspects of his game and, you know, land in the right spot where, you know, maybe he's, you know, a wide receiver too, and can like learn for a couple of years and, you know, get some of that nuance to his game. I think his route running is pretty good considering, you know, what, like I was talking about, some of his recruiting background. But if he can hit at that size with the athleticism that he has, he could be a really fun player. So I'm going to go Leggett here at, what is it, 203.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I mean, the lack of production worries me, but, you know, yes. It really will depend on landing spot and where he ends up landing at. He could be a player that I could see seemed like. So I don't hate it, but I'm gonna keep it going here at the running backs because we only have one off the board so far, and I'm gonna go with Jalen Wright, 5'11", 210. I mean, really, you know, really didn't do himself any disservice whatsoever at the combine. I mean, he crushed that. You know, somebody that has, you know, last couple of years, still young, only 20 years old. Also tested very well in terms of the analytics department, 18 yards after contact per attempt, at 34th and missed tackles forced per attempt, also 38th in yards per route run, super explosive athlete. And I mean, if you told me at the end, you know, in a couple of years from now that Jalen Wright was by far the best player from this draft in terms of the running backs, it wouldn't shock me. I think he has that range of outcomes in him. Prototypical size, 5'10", 210, 210 pounds, excuse me, threw me off there with the 10-10. But so I do really like Jalen Wright. I think there's a lot to like here. He's drawn some comps to like an Alvin Kamara type. He is more, I think, athletic than he is, but super impressed with him. And so I think he is another player. While we have to keep it into consideration the way we talk about these guys, because I don't think any of these running backs are like great running back talent, right? Or like these guys are going to be, you know, locked in next year, they're going to be, you know, going in top 10 in startup rookie or startup drafts or anything like that. In terms of rankings, I don't foresee that. I think some of these guys can have some RB1 seasons, but there's nobody in here that we're just like, I think most of these guys are more RB2s. But I do think Jalen Wright, everything that he is, I think he is somebody that we could get on board with.
Gonna go back to the quarterback well, because again, this is a super flex rookie mock, and I'm going to go with Michael Penix here. Obviously, he's a little bit older of a prospect, but that's something that we're just probably going to be dealing with for, you know, the next couple of years with the extra COVID year until all these prospects are kind of making their way out of that. But the big thing with him is the injuries, right? But apparently, he received good medical checks at the combine, which is absolutely huge for him. And again, in Superflex, quarterbacks are gold. We've seen Penix put up some, you know, big time numbers and big time production. Does it help that he had Odunze, Polk, and McMillan? Absolutely. All three of those wide receivers are going to be gone by, you know, probably round 4, I would assume. Obviously, Odunze is the marquee name here. But Polk and McMillan are you know, nothing to sneeze at either. But still, you know, we've seen Penix put up the numbers a little bit more compared to somebody like Bo Nix. I think Penix has a little bit feel a little bit safer with Penix as compared to Bo Nix. But again, Superflex, they're worth their weight in gold. We're getting to the point now where we're gonna, you know, start taking some shots on wide receivers, guys we don't feel great about. You were talking about this running back class also not being fantastic either. So I'm just going to go quarterback here, load up on these guys. I'm going to take Penix.
So question. So if you were in a rookie draft right now, is it, because to me, like the way I view it anyways, and I'm very much not a dynasty savant. So I'm gonna ask you this. Cause like for me, I feels like once you get past the top four guys, and I get it, there's always the chance that one of these guys could hit in the draft at the capital that you know, especially if one of these guys gets an opportunity to start somewhere. I mean, the opportunity cost to be able to flip them and all that stuff. But like, it feels also like maybe like a little bit of a sunk cost fallacy with taking some of these, like the quarterbacks that are like very much just complete wild cards, because likely Penix is a second or third round pick. And, you know, in the NFL, those guys usually don't have.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
A really high success rate. There's also obviously going to be outliers every, you know, in anything you look at, but does it feel like it's a little bit of a wasted pick if you were to take that, you know, with some of the names that are still on the board? Or how do you view that, I guess, at whenever you're on the clock?
You know, at this point, without having the luxury of knowing, you know, the landing spots and the draft capital, when we get to names like this where it's like, you know, I could go the safe route and take somebody like a Corum or, you know, Roman Wilson or Ricky Pearsall, somebody like that. But if you hit on one of these quarterbacks in a super flex league, I said it before, sound like a broken record, but they truly are worth their weight in gold. And we are not too far removed. I remember in one of my own super flex drafts, nobody wanted Josh Allen because everyone's talking shit on Josh Allen. No one wanted him. He went for super cheap in one of my auction leagues. And it's like, that has always like kind of like stuck in my craw, to where if you can get someone, you know, in the mid second, because after you get past the first round in rookie drafts, and even after like the first half of the first round, that hit rate really starts to drop drastically. I think it's like a 50% hit rate in the second round. It's like a 30% hit rate, and then it drops off dramatically after that. So sure, you know, it could have taken a shot on some of these other guys, you know, maybe take another reach on, you know, on somebody like a Javon Baker or something like that. But like without knowing exactly, you know, where these guys are going to land, you know, what team they're going to, the draft capital that they have, I'm almost always going to lean quarterback here. I remember last year, whenever us and Giraldi, whenever we did a rookie mock, I did the same thing. So maybe it's a sign. Maybe it's a sign just to stay away from Penix. But it was the same thing where it's like, well, guess I'm going to take Ritter. Well, I guess I'm going to take this guy. I mean, I guess that's 2 years at 2 years ago at this point. But it's just one of those things, man, that it, like if you can hit on one of these quarterbacks. And, you know, the running backs we've already talked about with, like, not being enamored with any of these guys. And now we're getting to the point, like I said, with the wide receivers where one of these guys is definitely going to hit. This is still a deep wide receiver class. I know we brought it up on our ranking show, Kev, where it's, you know, it's not maybe not looking as promising or as sexy as it was, you know, two months ago. There's still going to be a lot of really solid wide receivers to come out of this class, and especially in this range from like the, you know, mid second to the end of the second, and even further on down a list. But like in a super flex, I'm always going to lean quarterback, because if they hit, like you said, you can either flip them and you're going to get way more than what I just took Penix for, or you're set and now you have options in your super flex leagues, and you can even move one of your bigger quarterbacks if that's what you want to do. At least it gives you that flexibility to be able to do so. So is it a little bit of that sunken cost, like you were saying? Sure. But at the same time, I'm not looking at anyone else on this list and thinking like, man, I'm really missing out versus taking player X. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
More you know. Okay, so for me, I kind of go back and forth here with this next pick. I thought about going with another running back here because I do think that Jonathan Brooks should be the player that I'd be looking at. But I wanted to go ahead. I went with a wide receiver. Now, this isn't necessarily I have him as my wide receiver 9 in this class, which I don't think that's terrible. So I'm going to go with Roman Wilson. I mean, he tore up the Senior Bowl, did really well there. And then, you know, he continues to gain buzz, and he sounds like he could be a locked in second round pick. And if that is going to be the case for Roman Wilson, then I do think that he should be somebody that we have consideration, obviously landing spot dependent. But for the most part, I do think he is somebody here that we can take a look at as an option. So I'm going to go with Roman Wilson.
I'm going to go ahead and go back to the wide receiver well. And this kind of seems like someone that was also receiving hate, someone we're not supposed to like. But I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take Keon Coleman here. Everyone loves Jaden Reed now. Keon Coleman outproduced Jaden Reed when they were both at Michigan State. Obviously goes to Florida State this year. Is the separation or lack thereof, you know, concerning? Yeah, it is, but I'm not gonna bury this guy for the 40 that he ran. Whenever his 10-yard split is up there with some of the better times in this class, just don't ask the dude to run downfield. You know what I mean? Like he can be a big body slot guy. He can still has really good movement skills for a dude of his size. So I'm not gonna shy away here. I still think this is someone who's gonna end up going, you know, somewhere early on day 2. I don't think he's a round 1 wide receiver like a lot of people were penning him for during the earlier mocks, a couple months ago. But I still think he is someone who is intriguing. And if you can get him on the right team with the right quarterback who's not necessarily afraid to throw into some tighter coverage, I think that's going to be completely fine. Like I said, I think you could move him in as the big slot. Or you can still just stick him on the outside and just not ask him to run, you know, nines and goes and things like that. So I think landing spots going to be really important for him, but I still think he is he's an intriguing prospect. So I'm going to take Coleman here.
Yeah. We often overvalue speed when it comes to, I mean, there's plenty of wide receivers in the league that are not speed demons. I mean, Keenan Allen, I mean, even somebody different than him, DeAndre Hopkins, certainly isn't. Devontae Adams isn't necessarily a guy either who was thought of that way. So I think that sometimes we end up overvaluing the 40. Once again, we kind of talked about it already. I think some of the other things really show some different stuff that he's able to do. Obviously, the production isn't necessarily there. But you know what? That's the thing with a lot of these wide receivers. Production's not really there, like for a lot of these guys. There's not a long history of guys who just really have strong production profiles. I mean, you have the Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Roma Dunzi, who do, and then Xavier Worthy. But then there's a lot of guys that guys like Brian Thomas and A.D. Mitchell who don't have that strong, you know, profile in terms of this stuff. But athletically and everything else, I think that there's enough there with them. But I'm going to go back to the well. I'm going to go with the running back. I'm going to go with Jonathan Brooks, 6 foot, 216 for him. And, yes, he's coming off significant, you know, the ACL. But it sounds like he's progressing pretty well, and it sounds like he might even be ready for training camp for teams, so that could really help him. But I think if he was healthy, he would be the unquestioned number one running back in this class. I think he will excel, in, you know, especially in like an outside zone scheme, would suit him well. So we'll see where he ends up winding up and how much this injury ends up dinging him a little bit. But everything else is there. Obviously, he only has the 1 year of production, but in 10 games, he still had almost 1,200 rushing yards and 11 touchdowns. He also had 25 catches for 286 receiving yards. I think he is the closest thing to like the real total package we have here in this draft coming up for running back. So again, landing spot dependent, but I think he could end up being the guy that we talk about as being the best guy in this class. But I do really like Jonathan Brooks. Shame that he suffered that injury, but super explosive athlete. Really like Jonathan Brooks.
I'm going to stay with the running backs. I'm going to take Blake Corum here. I think he is the best actual running back in this class, just in terms of the nuances and everything comes with being like an actual running back. He's not as sexy. He doesn't have the athletic upside that some of these other guys have. I do think he's a better pass catcher than what, you know, his recent stats might show. I do think he has a little bit more juice than what we've seen as well. If you go back and you watch some of his earlier tape in Michigan, he definitely looks like he's a little bit faster and more explosive in his like freshman and sophomore tape. But I think he ends up, you know, getting day two draft capital. Like I said, I think he's like the best actual running back in this class. And I think he's going to be one of these running backs that just like sticks around for a really long time. So I will take Blake Corum here at the 209er.
Yeah. I don't know. There are things that obviously that worry me about Blake Corum. Obviously, he has the massive touchdown numbers that we saw from him. Yeah. Everything else, though, I mean, he has the production for sure. I mean, he almost has three straight years of 1,000 rushing yards, 11, 18, and 27 touchdowns. But everything else, you know, you can make a case that it's because of the heavy workload that he had, that maybe that's why he's 241st in yards after contact per attempt and 250th in missed tackles forced per attempt, also 110th overall in yards per route run. Not super explosive, 62nd in carries of 15-plus yards. But again, when you saddle him with that much, you know, with touches, you know, some of that ends up hurting a guy in terms of that department. But I'm going to go with Trey Benson here with my next pick at 6 foot, 216. Obviously, he, you know, ran the 40 that a lot of people weren't expecting, the 4.39, kind of a little bit like a Kenneth Walker in that way. I don't think people were expecting that from him, but he never really reached 1,000 rushing yards, you know, but he did have 905. 14 touchdowns. He also had 20 catches, 227 receiving yards at Florida State this year. So I do think Trey Benson, and for a lot of people, Trey Benson is their number one running back. I can't quite get him there. I do like Jonathan Brooks, Jalen Wright a little bit more, and Marshawn Lloyd, but I still think he should be in the conversation for sure as a top five. He's my RB4 right now.
Go back to the wide receiver well, and I'm going to take Malachi Corley here at the 211. He's someone who I think is a really, really interesting prospect. Also, someone that you are absolutely projecting at the next level. I've touched on this a couple of times during our shows whenever he's come up, but 37% of his career targets. You know, not just his senior year, not his best year, you know, not in whatever the past 2 years. 37% of his career targets at or behind the line of scrimmage, which is just absolutely bonkers. But I feel that that is more of a case of he just wasn't asked to do more at Western Kentucky. I think he has the ability to do more. I don't like the Debo comp that keeps getting thrown around with him. I kind of get it in the sense of like you get the ball in his hands, he's a little bit of a bowling ball, but I don't think that they're the same player. I think it's something more similar to the way that Jaden Reed was used this year in Green Bay. But I think he is able to do more than what he was asked. I think, you know, if you get him in a more open offense, if you get him in an offense that is, you know, that is willing to ask him to do more, that we will see more from him as well. So it's definitely a projection. You know, you obviously don't feel great about it because you haven't really seen it from him at the college level. But I do like him as a player. I think he has really good movement skills. I think he is athletic enough. And he's someone I'm really interested to see where exactly he goes next month.
Yeah, so lastly, with the last pick here, you know, fun little pick here for me. Somebody that I have seen a lot higher than everybody else. I'm doing it. I'm going to the well. I'm going to go with Malik Washington from Virginia, my wide receiver 6. here. Starting to see a little more buzz, more people getting on board with Malik Washington. I just, you know, does a great job of getting quick separation. Excellent route runner. Really reminded me, like, I was watching Zay Flowers. Like, a lot of the stuff that excited me about Zay Flowers last year really stood out to me with Malik Washington from Virginia. Another guy that kind of only has kind of the only 1 year of that production, or big production anyways. Last year, 110 receptions, 1,426 receiving yards, and 9 touchdowns. He did have years prior to that with 694 receiving yards and 578. But everything else, too, I mean, he checks the boxes. He was first overall among all wide receivers last year and missed tackles forced. He was also at 3.15 yards per route run, which is top 12. And he was PFF's number 3 overall graded wide receiver last year. So Malik Wash is a name that I really like. Elite separator. Really exciting once he gets the ball after in his hands. I mean, especially for his size, 5'8", but 191 pounds. He runs aggressively. And so there's a lot to like here with Malik Wash. I think he could be a guy that offense is really, you know, are able to do a lot of fun stuff with. You mentioned the Jaden Reed comp. I think that really kind of where Malik Washington could fit in as well. So I like Malik Washington a lot. And if he gets that, you know, late day two or, you know, day two draft capital, I think that he's a guy that I'm really going to like depending on landing spots. So Malik Washington's who I'm going to go with here at the last pick of the second round.
Woo! There it is, man.
Yeah. I think this class is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to get more and more information. Pro days are still going on right now. I know today seems to be the debate of Audric Estime's, 40 time. You know, like people are trying to slow it down and show what it is. I'm like, why do we care? Like, who cares if he ran a 4.5 or a 4.6? You know, like, I do not care. Like, it does not matter to me in the slightest. I could not care less. But like David Montgomery, like I've said, like that's who he reminds me of is David Montgomery, right? But David Montgomery is not somebody that's going to be ever known as a speed merchant, and I think that's totally fine. Like he's going to play a role in the for a team, depending on his draft capital where he lands, you know, depending on where he gets picked. But there's a lot to like with the rest of his profile. But we're trying to make him out to be something more than he's not. Like he's not a speed guy. That's cool, but he is still very explosive in short area quickness stuff. I mean, he's still a player who was fifth in all of running backs last year and carries a 15 plus yards. But he's not going to be breaking off 70-yard touchdown runs. That's fine. That's just not who he is. But I don't know. Like I just saw that today, and I was like, "What are we doing? Like what are we doing? Like does it really fucking matter? What you know? Like why are we doing this?" But I don't know. I saw that today, and I was like, "What? Oh my god! Here
it's, we are. It's the off season, man. We have nothing else to do. So if a guy that especially if you like him, he comes out and he runs a more respectable 40." You got to cape up for it. That's what we do.
Yeah, I mean, you can I'm just showing my bias here. And same with Keon Coleman. But Keon Coleman didn't run a fast 40 time. And, you know, like everybody's, let's confirm our priors here. You know, see, this is why I told you shouldn't like Keon Coleman. He didn't run a fast 40. Oh, yeah, we knew that he wasn't going to run, you know, some blazing fast 40 time. Like, okay, thanks for letting us know. You're just confirming your priors. Because that's really what a lot of this is about.
Yeah, not only that, but everyone was, you know, specifically with Coleman, everyone was crushing him for his inability to separate. Like, you look at all of his, like, highlights, it's him in contested catch situations. We shouldn't have expected him to run a fast 40 if all of his, you know, highlights and all of his tape are contested catches. But I'm just pulling it up now, and his 10-yard split came in at a 8.74 on the RAS, on the relative athletic score, which puts him in the green. It was his, you know, the 20-yard split, and obviously the 40-yard dash was not great. Like, I'm not going to try and sit here and say that he had a good 40 time. He obviously didn't. But that 10-yard quickness is really, you know, can take you further than, you know, like we see a lot of these guys that come in and, you know, blaze 40s and just completely flame out in the NFL and do absolutely nothing. So I'm with you. I like it's fun to talk about. It's fun to break all this stuff down. But at the end of the day, a lot of this doesn't move the needle for me.
Yeah. So that being said, I mean, that kind of wraps up. You know what I think we should do next week? We should do rankings next week. Not rookie rankings. Redraft rankings. I think maybe next week should be on the old docket. You know, we'll see what we're gonna do here. Quick question. Shoot.
My high school girlfriend's name was Nikki, so this better be a good question. If not, I'm gonna fucking punch his computer.
You're so aggressive tonight.
I told you beforehand, man. I've been sipping on the IPA.
Oh, how rude of me! It is Cody's birthday today. I should say that we should have let off with that. I saved it for the end, but it is Cody's birthday today, so he's a little spicy today. So I don't know. Just, you have an Eagles fan, Tom, who was supposed to be on the show tonight, would have enjoyed that with the Eagles hat on there. So I thought we'd have it by now. they may have left. They may have said, fuck these people, you know, the rudeness that come from you, and you just ran somebody off.
Well, I'm also trying to fill dead air here. You know what I mean? I thought it'd be good for the listeners to know. Did I say high school girlfriend?
Yeah.
Wasn't really high school. It was the first like year and a half of my collegiate career. Took away the best years of my Penn State life, and I will never forgive her for that.
Oh, here we go. At least you didn't run off, Nikki. You can tell Cody to go fuck himself. All right.
I like this Nikki a lot more. Than mine.
All right, one QB league 10 team. I have the fifth pick. My wide receivers are Amon-Ra, AJ Brown, Puka Nacke, ASN Flag. Killing it. Three wide receivers, two flex. Someone to send me an offer for my fifth pick and my 2025 second for Garrett Wilson.
Ooh, one QB. Let me get myself back into the one QB mindset. Everything I've been doing, I honestly. I think I might be down to like one or two leagues, dynasty leagues now that are one QB. So, I mean, at the five, yeah, and a one QB in a 10 team league, a five and a second for Garrett Wilson, I would take Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, because I mean, at that point, in a single, I mean, you figure
the top three
wide receivers are probably off the board by then. I mean, I guess somebody
the top three are definitely gone.
Yeah, so then if they're gone, then yeah, I'm absolutely doing that.
Yeah, the only other thing you could debate on doing there, Nikki, is potentially moving that five and, you know, maybe your second or another piece to like move up into the top three to get one of those top three wide receivers. Yeah, assuming it's the top three, then Brock Bowers at four. You know, you probably are looking at Thomas, A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, some of the names that we were talking about earlier. So to get Garrett Wilson, because then even if you don't like Garrett Wilson, and he comes out and has, you know, Aaron Rodgers healthy for an entire year, you're going to be able to flip him for way more than the 105 in a second. So then that opens up a whole bunch of different options for you with that wide receiver room. You could potentially look at, you know, sending away, you know, a JSN of Flowers and Nico to potentially fill a different need that you might have at running back or something else. So yeah, I would, that to me seems cheap. Cause then it's obviously assuming if you have a good team, if you are a contender, that second is going to be later. Oof. I can see the team is coming together. Your wide receiver room is absolutely stacked. That is filthy.
And you don't gotta feel bad that you never won it. My home league that I'm in, I have consistently had just stacked teams, and I've never won it. So I can win DFS, you know, take down tournaments there, but apparently I can't win a 12 team keeper league in my home league. So it doesn't mean it's not the end all be all. All right. you know, I have a plenty of seconds, but it always feels like something happens. Like actually this year I took second again. So, but the coveted first place just tends to elude me there. But yeah, I mean, that's a stacked wide receiver. Actually, yeah. I mean, looking at this, like, I don't know what is like, what is Nico Collins' dynasty value right now? Like, is it high? I mean, after the year he just had, I guess it would depend on what the Texans do. Like, because I would assume if the Texans draft a wide receiver here in the first round, it's probably going to tank Nico Collins' stock, I would think, versus, you know, if they hold steady and they don't draft nobody. Or they take somebody in the third, right? I mean, is that how you feel? Is that how you would feel about that?
Yeah, I think that one to me comes down. Like, there's going to be – I would not be actively shopping Nico. But there's likely a Nico guy in your league. You know what I mean? Like, I think like there's probably people that are also looking at it as like, you know, well, Tank Dell is the one. I've heard that that sentiment come from different folks saying they think Tank Dell is going to be the one there in that offense. But there's going to be someone in your league that leans toward one of those guys, right? So, like, I that was really that was difficult for me to say, like, one way or the other. I'm going to live that hashtag hedge life here and just kind of split it down the middle. I'm a Nico fan. I also like Tank Dell. If I didn't have either of those guys, those are actually trade targets where, you know, you can go out and try and see whoever you can get cheaper is who I would want. You know, Tank Dell is coming off the bad injury, but it looks like he is progressing well. Already some videos of him coming out doing drills and actually moving pretty well, especially laterally, which is a big thing for him coming off that injury.
That is a nice stack to have. Stroud in general was such a home run. I mean, wherever you got him at, I mean, he looks like he is going to be a stud for a very long time. So,
yeah. Nikki, we're going to need you to come back periodically throughout the offseason. Just give us updates on this team. But this, I feel like this is your year.
Because this is very stacked. I mean, just your three wide receivers alone, and Amon-Ra, AJ Brown, and Puka is phenomenal. Then you have
the you could leave off the rest. And then with potentially adding, you know, Garrett Wilson, if you accept the trade, it's a nice team.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm assuming it's PPR. So with that, I mean, you're obviously the two flexes, anything, three wide receivers, flexes, you're going to want wide receivers there, and you're absolutely stacked. So, yeah, there's no – I would go Garrett Wilson here all day. You know, it's different if you're talking about, like, a top three pick because then you're dealing with the – three sub wide receivers. So here's my sleep league if you want to take a peek. Yeah, send it over. And you guys earned a sub. Thanks. We appreciate you, Nikki. Again, you need to, we're going to, much like our conspiracy theory team, or not conspiracy theory, the non-veto guy who ended up winning the championship.
He
kept us updated throughout the whole entire process and ended up winning it. We need updates on this team and where this team goes, because this is a really strong team. I can't imagine what the other teams look like, because I mean, be able to have these wide receivers and Stroud coming off the year he had, I mean, I would be very excited.
Yes.
So you're gonna have to keep us updated on that. So that being said, though, I thought we were going to go over an hour. I don't think we're going to. We're right there, up against it.
Wrap it up.
So, anyways, we'll be back again next week. Whatever we do, I don't know. I'll see if I can talk Cody. I don't know if he's into the updated rankings yet. We haven't quite got to that point of the offseason. I don't know if he's there yet. It's always his favorite thing to do. Really, if he could talk about that every single week, he would. We'll see what we're going to do. If not, we'll get into some more rookie talk. But we'll see what happens. But we still have what? A little over a month away from the draft, so don't want to overdo the draft talk here. So, sorry, I was trying to starting to go. And I read that. I'm not going to disclose what I just read. But anyways, so hope everybody's good. Cody, have a good birthday. I don't know how old you're going to be. What are you going to be, 33, 34, 35, something like
that? You stopped one short at 36.
36 years old. So you still got four more years. So you hit that 40, the elusive 40 mark. Yeah. So you're still young. I got one more year. My birthday's next week. So I have to live the hell out of this 1 year because 40 just feels old. Like that's, I feel like that is like really where you get old is 40. So I feel like I have one more year left in my prime.
So I don't know, man. A couple weeks ago, I moved a dog crate and fucked up my back something fierce. So I'm already. It's already at that point for me, to be honest.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nikki.
Yeah, we appreciate you. Appreciate the sub. We'll be back in next week. Everybody have a good rest of the weekend. If you did March Madness, hope your bracket isn't too busted with Kentucky losing. I don't think a lot of people. I don't think a lot of people had Oakland over Kentucky, so you don't have to worry about that. No. But anyways, we'll see you guys next week. Have a good rest of the, have a good weekend, and we'll be back again next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards. Save-